You're listening to Marketing News Canada, Canada's number one show featuring the brightest minds in marketing, PR, and digital advertising.
Welcome to another episode of Marketing News Canada. I am thrilled and excited as we are going to talk about probably a very important topic for a lot of folks that listen to the show, anyone who is in small or medium businesses right now, and anyone who works in an agency that serves small and medium businesses, and anyone who has a favorite grocer or hairdresser or really just comic book store locally that is probably a small or medium business and you want them to survive and thrive in these next years, this is a great session for them as well. So Tristan is joining us. He is Google Canada Small and Medium Business Marketing Lead. He and his team are dedicated to helping small and medium businesses embrace the power of digital to succeed in Canada and abroad. Prior to joining Google, Tristan spent 6 years in brand management at Procter & Gamble, leading marketing for a number of the company's health and beauty brands. Tristan, thank you for being here.
Thanks so much for having me, Darian. I feel like I need my hairdresser back so badly these days.
Right?
We all do.
Yeah. And we all have that. Like, I remember when it first happened and there was the chance of small businesses shutting down, is that you have your favorites. You have your go-to places that you could never replace. You know, you could
really
try to DIY, but you can never be as good as those professionals.
Totally. Yeah. And we took it for granted. And it's been a hard year, I think, for small businesses across Canada. But I'm excited to talk to you more about it and what we can do to help them.
Yeah. So when you say you run into a small business, maybe some of your favorites, what's the biggest advice you're giving as Google? Like, what are you saying as far as like maybe Google products or Google resources that you're saying, man, here's some great free ones. And here's some ways that are really affordable that you can succeed in this next year.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think what we've seen over the past year is that small businesses have struggled so much as a result of the pandemic. It really upended so much in our lives, but particularly for independent business owners who now are unable to, I don't know, count on the Friday, Saturday rush that they get as a restaurant, or foot traffic from the street, or even to be open at all. It's really upended their lives in many different ways. And what we've seen at Google is that digital has started to become a lifeline for business owners. Mm-hmm. And so the message that we're trying to share is that if you move your business online, or even part of your business online, and we can talk about a bit more about what that means, you have a greater chance of succeeding in the short term, mm-hmm. but you also open your doors to many new opportunities in the longer term. One story that I really love. There's this business owner named Peter Lainwine. He owns a pen shop in Toronto and Yorkville. It's been there for like 30 years. And at the beginning of the pandemic, he did his first day of $0 of sales. Mm-hmm. And that is an experience that so many people had, I think, when this pandemic started and business owners were forced to close their doors. And Peter set up a Shopify store, started online marketing. And within about 6 weeks, I think he'd increased his revenue by 18 times online,
wow.
Started selling 30% outside of Canada to the US and 70% outside of Ontario, where before he was just selling in Toronto on the street where he was based. So I think that story exemplifies the opportunity that exists in this really challenging time. And we've been really focused on creating new programs and initiatives to help with that process because we get that the transition to online is not easy. Business owners are like the CMO, CEO, CFO of their company. And it's not easy to pivot your business model entirely. So that's where we've really been focused this past year.
And one exciting thing. So earlier this year, Google made a pledge to get 50,000 small businesses online by supporting Digital Main Street's Shop Here program. Yeah. Why'd you get involved? And how have you guys been helping businesses transition online?
Yeah. Great question. So at Google, we've been committed to building Canada's economy for nearly 20 years now when we've been here. Last year, Google's advertising tools helped generate $23 billion in economic activity for Canada, and that's for more than 500,000 businesses. So that's like over 1% of our total GDP. And that's because we fundamentally believe that the internet, like you were saying at the beginning, is this powerful equalizer that can help businesses grow and connect. And especially these days, it's become a lifeline. So back in March, COVID-19 hit us, and I think it took us all by surprise. And particularly for small businesses, who also, I should say, are really the backbone of our economy. Yeah. They employ 90% of the private sector, are 98% of total businesses in Canada. The impacts of this pandemic have been really catastrophic. And moving online, like I said, became a lifeline, whether that's setting up curbside pickup, offering online yoga classes, or selling your products through e-commerce. And it's really a challenge, like I was saying. I mean, these people are trying to balance 17,000 priorities on their own to run a business that supports their family. And so we knew that there was a solution to the challenge the business owners were facing, but it wasn't an easy one to implement. And so we've partnered with Digital Main Street, which is a local nonprofit based out of Toronto, for a number of years. We were one of their founding sponsors. And their mission's very much aligned with ours. It's all about helping businesses, Main Street businesses especially, embrace digital. And so at the start of the pandemic, we kind of dreamed up this program together called Shop Here. And it was meant to tackle two issues: unemployment, particularly youth unemployment. So early days of COVID, youth unemployment hit almost 50% in Canada, and also tackle small business recovery with digitization as the solution. And so through Shop Here, Digital Main Street hires unemployed students who then are trained by Google, Facebook, and the other partners, and they build businesses, online stores, all for free. And so it's this, in some ways, really simple idea, but also extremely complex in execution. And we just thought it was so important to sign on early because of the impact that it could have. And now this program's in, I think it's about 450 municipalities in Canada, and more coming as we intend to continue expanding. So it helps a business get through that first challenge, which is get online. And that's one of the hardest things. And then once you do that, we can help you with things like building traffic and starting to drive traffic to your store with free solutions and stuff.
That's amazing. And for any students listening or someone who has a student in their life, so I imagine they can apply as well to be one of those educated, empowered people as well.
Sure can. Yeah, there's actually hiring opening right now. If you just search online, Digital Main Street, Shop Here, job opportunities, it should come up in the search results. There's a few postings for, I believe, starting in March. So yes, totally for students. It's a great opportunity. And I think you start to get things that complement your education. So you would learn about customer service and working directly with business owners, but you also start to learn the foundations of digital marketing, which is a hugely accelerating industry in Canada. And so you can walk out of this program with some really hard skills that complement your degree background that can then help you get into the workforce. And that's something that way back when I was so grateful for, being able to work coming from a humanities background, like many students do. So yeah, it's a great opportunity for employment and for small businesses as well, of course.
I like that you're empowering a whole generation, a group of people, into what, you know, is often referred to as new collar work. So not white collar, not blue collar, but this new generation of, you know, digital marketers and web builders and e-commerce creators.
Yes, totally. I mean, I think working in tech is one of the biggest industries that is continuing to grow. The internet is going to continue to grow. Digital marketing, like you say, is going to continue to grow. And I've found, working as a marketer, that more and more places are looking for people with some hard skills and some tangible skills, having worked with businesses, having used digital marketing themselves, because then you just have a so much better understanding of the product. And that could make you a great candidate for somewhere like an agency, as an example, where you'd be working directly with clients and helping them build their marketing campaigns day in, day out. And you've got to have some soft side, like customer service skills, and then some hard technical stuff. And then, yes, you're totally right. I think that's the next generation of workers in Canada.
It's amazing. So especially the idea of going online, for those that maybe get one of these amazing students, incredible. And maybe those that don't, you know, these businesses are, you know, have limited resources, sometimes one to two staff. How do they get started? What's kind of like, hey, here's kind of the 101. Here's how you get going on the internet.
Yeah, I think it definitely can seem really broad and really daunting. God, I can hardly imagine running a business on my own, supporting my family, and then also trying to think about, okay, now everyone's saying I need to move online. All my shoppers are going online. How do I do it? And I think it's also essential. So we've seen this massive acceleration of e-commerce in Canada this year, or this past year, over 20%. And even after COVID, 33% of shoppers say they're going to shop more online as well. Yeah. And I think we can probably all relate to that. I have acclimatized to the convenience almost of buying stuff online, doing boot camps on weekends at home, working from home even. I think we've all gotten used to some of those things.
Like Costco's online. Like I was actually, I called my wife on the way here because we're out of diapers, and it's a very daunting experience as a parent of four kids. The idea of going to Costco, it's like you have to plan it. And it's like this mission, and you go in and you have to like schedule things. But now, thanks to this app, they will literally deliver Costco within an hour to our home. It's crazy.
Amazing. Isn't Costco the best? So good. Yeah, it makes life easier in a time in which we're all trying to save time. And especially if you have a family and kids, I'm sure all parts of life become about how can you save a little bit of time by doing something online that you would have done in person before. Mm-hmm. And of course, it goes without saying that I want all of the old things back that we cannot have as a result of this pandemic, like seeing my friends and having dinner and all these things. But there are some conveniences that I think are here to stay. And so for business owners, going online can mean a lot of different things. It can mean having a website, having a social media profile, appearing in Google search, advertising, YouTube, there's so many different things. And I think it really does not need to and should not be all of those things at once. It's too overwhelming to try to take it all on at one time. So what I tend to suggest is it's really important to have a home base, the same way that you have a home base for your business in person. And I recommend that being a website. And that's for a number of reasons. I think first is you can direct all of your traffic from different sources to one spot. That's really important because then you can start to understand your users, where they're coming from, what they're doing once they're coming to your website, how you can reach them again. And so that's really, really critical. I think another piece of it is that 10 years ago, building a website was really, really challenging. Yes. Today, it's become a lot easier. I mean, I'm not a technical person and I think I could do it with these providers like Shopify, Wix, Squarespace. There's so many of them now. There's templated solutions that are really easy. And I mean, to take it a step further, programs like Shopier, our students build it for you. So it makes it even that much easier.
Which
so
is
I think
incredible. Yeah,
you've got to start with that home base. Yes. And I think that that helps remove one of the more daunting things about starting is you can get some one-on-one help to actually do it. Once you've then got a home base, you want to start thinking about how you can drive traffic. And the benefit of having that website is then that you can direct traffic from your social media profile, from your business profile on Google, which is essentially like the way that you show up in Google search for free. Yes. You start directing that traffic all back to your home base. And then you can better understand what those users are doing once they get there. And I think the last tip I'll give is, and these are all free things, by the way, outside of maybe the website creation, but I think it's important to start with free, is appear in marketplaces. And so marketplaces are Google Shopping's an example, so the shopping tab on Google, Facebook Shops, Amazon even is a marketplace. You can appear on these marketplaces where there's already an audience and start acquiring new users and building new traffic for free often. So this past year, we made shopping listings on Google free for all business owners in Canada. So that means you can appear, people search for, I don't know, hair care products, and your shampoo can show up online, and then somebody can purchase through your website. And so I'll just kind of recap those steps. I mean, I think it's important to have that home base, which to me is a website, at least to start with something. Then start putting yourself out there in the places that you can for free to start building some traffic and an audience to your site. And then once you've done that, you can think about things like advertising, digital marketing, which we can talk some more about, and then really sky's the limit on the users that you can acquire. Like I mentioned earlier, in the province where you're operating, across Canada, even across North America or the world, depending on your business model. So it's daunting, really exciting. And I think I would recommend just starting with one thing because it could be a full-time job to do one of those things versus trying to do all of them at the same time.
That makes sense. And I've been really excited about even the Google My Business or people call it the Google Map listing, the upgrades that have happened over this last year from, you know, you can give your COVID updates, you can change your hours quite easily. There's almost like someone is holding my hand through the process, even reminding me with upcoming Canadian holidays of saying, do you need to update your hours? And, you know, you can even post specials and offers on there now. And the new offer of even giving, they'll actually build a website for you. You know, it's a little, a little Google My Business. It just takes all the information from Google My Business and makes a little microsite for you as well, which is also a cool option.
You have one unheard message. Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow. I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
We're trying to make things as easy as possible.
Yeah.
I think it's really hard for business owners. And so the more we can simplify things so that they're really, really intuitive, the better. I'll mention, because you mentioned Google My Business, if you go to Google for Small Business, this is sort of our hub where we keep all of our free resources for business owners. There's a number of tools there. And one of the things we try to do at Google is personalize everything. So there's this one called Local Opportunity Finder that you can find on that hub. And you type in your business name, it finds your Google My Business profile, and then it gives you a series of personalized recommendations based on how optimized your profile is, the reviews you're collecting, whether you're responding to them, whether you have photos, these sort of basic things that really help improve your presence. And again, those are all personalized, which I think is important because you should be able to get as a business owner some guidance and tips for you specifically rather than for all business owners, because each person's business is in a different position and has a different model. One of the other things that I think is really important and that I hear often from business owners they're looking for is one-to-one support, which is hard to come by when there's, 1.2 million businesses in Canada. It's hard to get one-on-one support. And so programs like Shop Here are so good for that because you get that for free. And then when you go through that program, you also get one-on-one support from a Google expert after you've graduated. And that's something that we want to offer to as many people as possible and will help you get to the next level, I think, in building your online presence, aside from the stuff you could do on your own.
That's amazing. And speaking of offering support and helping folks out, focusing on diversity, inclusion, and marketing is super essential. And you know, a lot more people are aware of that even more these days. And knowing that underrepresented communities, you know, we got rural Canada, we've got all sorts of places that are kind of spread out across our nation. They've been impacted by COVID-19 hugely. So yes. How are you thinking about reaching out and speaking to those kind of underrepresented communities across Canada?
Yeah, this is such a good question, and I'm so glad you ask it. And it's top of mind for me in my role at Google and for all of us at Google. It's also top of mind personally. This is really, really critical that we all have an eye for diversity, equity, and inclusion in everything that we do these days. And like you said, Darian, let me focus on one particular sector. So if I look at retail, 48% of all SMBs in retail are owned by BIPOC folks or women versus 29% of total SMBs in Canada. So there's an overdevelopment of businesses owned by people of color and women in this particular sector. And we all know this. I mean, you see this in the news all the time. People from underrepresented communities in Canada have also been more highly impacted by COVID-19 overall. And so it's even more important that companies like Google are here to do what we can to support those folks through this challenging time. And so I'll highlight, I think, a few ways, and this is not meant to be exhaustive, but a few ways that we've thought about it ourselves. So I think first is we need to think about ensuring that we reach folks in different communities across our country with our programming. Folks who may not typically show up in our network. And by that, I mean, with Shop Here, we focused very early on with the team at Digital Main Street on how we would tackle the inherent bias that exists in outreach for these types of programs, that we all have existing networks and those may not extend to a number of underrepresented communities across the country. And so for Shop Here, we paired up with a number of organizations, 300 community organizations, examples like the Black Chamber of Commerce, Aboriginal Chamber of Commerce, the Canadian Council of Aboriginal Businesses, who you mentioned earlier.
They're awesome.
And do such great work to ensure that we were getting outreach out through their networks in addition to our own. So that was kind of foundational step one, make sure that people can access this program who need it most. That also applies to this program from a hiring standpoint. So When you think about it, there is bias that exists in hiring processes and outreach for jobs. And so as we were working at the beginning on the hiring program with Digital Main Street, we did the same thing for outreach for talent of students through a diverse number of networks, and then also ensured that all the interviewers were DEI trained and had mandated diversity on the hiring panels for this program. So that's kind of one. And I think the basics that are really, really important. The second thing I'll mention is we've tried to focus more here as a company in the digital skills training that we offer. So recently, Google.org, which is our philanthropic arm of Google, announced $250,000 to ComIT, which is a charity in Canada that aims to develop a community that links people struggling to overcome employment barriers with companies looking for talented IT professionals. And this particular grant is dedicated to 450 Indigenous people in Canada who can be the next generation of IT professionals. And they're getting really hands-on formalized training that will help them get into the job market after going through this program. And I think the last one that's top of mind for me is that as a big company, we have a platform. And we need to work really hard to ensure that our advertising reflects our users. One of the greatest things I think we can do is ensure that kids who are growing up in Canada, aspiring business owners, job seekers, Canadians at large, can see themselves reflected in our advertising. And that requires some intention, but it is not hard. And it's one of the most impactful things that we can do to impact culture overall. So we've got this online publication called Think with Google, and we've got a diversity inclusion series on that publication where we're featuring business leaders and marketers that are doing a great job with DEI. In my sphere, I work on small business and medium business. We've launched a number of campaigns this past year, and we've been very intentional to feature people like Heat La Liberté, who's a Cree Métis Two-Spirit owner of One Arrow from Vancouver. Maybe you know it. I think it's in Granville Island, actually.
Yeah.
Tariq Albarani, who's an immigrant from the UAE and owns Plenty in Toronto. And Nana Osei, who's a Canadian founder of Boten Eyewear, to name a few. It's important that we lift up these people and show Canada success stories of businesses who have faced probably greater barriers to building their businesses and done so successfully, so that then the next generation sees themselves reflected in the advertising. So I've said a lot there, and it's because I'm passionate about it. And like I said, that is probably just scratching the surface on what we all need to do in this effort to prioritize diversity in our work in Canada.
That's amazing. I hosted a panel recently of various Indigenous marketing leaders across Canada, and we asked about, you know, growing up, did you ever see yourself in advertising? And the one thing they had in common was this pain medicine. I can't remember what the name of it was. It had a painted, you know, guy.
Oh my God,
with a,
I remember this commercial.
Yeah,
it was Lakota that was, or something.
Yeah, that's the only time they saw themselves.
Yeah.
And so the idea being is, I love what you're saying. People want, they should, and you know, and rightfully so, see themselves in advertising. I love that. I love what you guys are doing. Advice on YouTube, small business owners, should they get into YouTube? What's the kind of like a good kind of first step into YouTube? If they were kind of to dip their toes in the YouTube pool, what would you say they should do?
Yeah, that's a really great question. YouTube is actually one of the places, along with Google My Business, where we see a lot of business owners go first. And I think that's because, like Google My Business, it's free. It's a free service that you can access.
Second largest search engine in the world.
Yes.
Amazing.
Yes, totally.
Free apps. I got this app recently, and I don't know if you've used this one, but the YouTube Studio app is incredible, right?
Yes.
And by the way, YouTube Music, I didn't even know about this. I just discovered this. YouTube Music is amazing.
It's amazing. Another thing. It's like another Spotify. Yeah. You know, I would have said, again, if I take it back like 10 years ago from now, making video content was pretty hard. You needed a sort of professional setup. Yeah, like it wasn't easy. But now, I mean, I can make videos on my iPhone or on my Android phone, whatever it is.
Or your Google Pixel.
Or my Google Pixel.
Come on. There you go.
Oh God, I'm bad. But it's become so much easier, and making video content is much more accessible. So YouTube is a really amazing space because somebody with no experience making video content can start producing their own content and putting it up on YouTube.
Yes.
You know, creators are a huge part of YouTube's ecosystem in Canada, and creators are small business owners. They Yes. are running their own businesses, starting from zero, learning how to produce content and making really amazing personalized content. Mm-hmm. And I think that just demonstrates that it is much more possible now than it used to be. And that's a good thing, because being able to have video content is now democratized. Anybody can do it. Anybody can upload their content. And so as a small business owner, I would certainly think about it as part of your strategy. And the ways that you can shoot your own little bite-sized content simply. Now, I'll say, if you're thinking about the kind of list of priorities and you as a business owner are not online at all today, I would start with the basics of like your website, get your Google My Business profile going, because that means that you'll just start to be found more easily. And then think about YouTube as a sort of add-on where you can start adding some short form content around your business, particularly if you're working in a space like beauty, for example, where content is so important and content with creators is so important. And so it's going to depend where you are. But I think what I'd say is it's easier than ever. We're trying to continue to make it easier and easier day by day with new tools, like a couple that you mentioned. And I would certainly think about it. But if you have nothing, I would start with the basics first and then think about YouTube as your kind of second step.
Awesome. And if we want to talk about maybe the third step, Google AdWords.
Yes.
And even within the Google My Business app, I have been given a little offer of like $100 to try AdWords out, or there's a more basic version of AdWords within there. Tell me more about kind of a first step into the pool of AdWords for small businesses.
Yeah, it's a great question. Advertising can be scary, I think, to people, because you start paying for something. And certainly in the past, let's say you were buying a TV ad or a print ad in a newspaper, There's no guarantee that that's going to get for you what you want. You drive some awareness, which, I mean, if you're a huge brand, is easy to do and great and a important part of building your brand. But as a small business owner, you may not get the guarantee that that's going to deliver results. So one of the most amazing things with digital advertising now is that everything is automated. And I'll try to break this down into a few steps. So as a business owner, I would start with the free stuff first. That's how you start building some traffic, building a network. There's a lot you can do for free. And I talked about some of those things before, like Google My Business, free listings on Google, getting into other marketplaces, even email as ways to communicate with your user base. Once you're ready and interested and paid, it can be a really powerful tool if you do it right. And what I would suggest starting with is you need to know the value of your user. So if I use an example, if I'm like a tea shop and I know that on average, somebody who comes to my store and purchases is going to spend $20.
Yeah.
And if they buy once, maybe half the people who buy once come back and buy again. And then I know that my loyalty is about half of those people. They're going to come back three times in a year. Again, I'm making up these numbers, but you can do this on a napkin yourself for your business. Then you can start to understand how much somebody is worth to you in a year, in 5 years, in a lifetime even, if you were to acquire them. And why that is so powerful is that then that helps you understand how much you should or could pay to acquire a new user, because you know how much they're worth to you. And then that also means that you never pay too much for a user and get a negative ROI or diminishing return on your advertising spend. So if you start there, you know the value of one of your users, then ads tools are so automated now, like I said. So I'll talk about Google Ads. For your first time on the platform, you can use something called Smart Campaigns. There's also one called Smart Shopping Campaigns. I'll kind of break down how those work. And there's ones for service businesses too called Local Services Ads. But essentially, the principle is you put in your goal, what you want the outcome to be of your advertising. So in the most automated version of that, that could be phone calls to your business, website visits, online sales even, or in-store visits. In the less automated version, which you can get a little more creative with, it could be you want them to click this specific button on your website, sign up for an email or whatever it may be. And then you input your budget that you're willing to spend, which you now know based on how much a user is worth to you and how many of them you could get through this tool. And then you pay only for the result that will actually drive your business forward. So to play back to the tea store example, let's say you know you want to drive online sales. You can set your goal as online sales. you set your daily budget and what you, or what you want to spend per conversion even. And then that means through the algorithm that Google uses, you only pay when somebody completes that action. So let's say your ad shows up to somebody, you're not paying unless they actually click on it or buy something, depending on what you've set the conversion to be. And so all that means is that advertising, and digital advertising, particularly with automation, can be a really useful way to grow in an ROI positive way, as long as you've done that initial step of understanding the value of a user and then only paying what you're comfortable with at an ROI, whether it's 2-to-1 or 4-to-1, to get those new users. And then you're just paying for results. And that's the beauty of advertising. And like I said, you can get less and less automated if you want to get more in the weeds with it. And that's what some of our more advanced advertisers do, which makes it even more powerful for you. But if you're just starting out, I would use smart campaigns, and you're putting in the result you want, the amount you want to spend, and then it's just going to pump out those results for you over time.
That's incredible. It's incredible. Those that were on the internet back in the 90s, it's almost like this little paperclip walks you through it and holds your hand. Or if you remember The Wizard, I don't know if The Wizard had a name, but The Wizard would walk you through. Yeah. And so it's incredible the way you've made it accessible, applicable, and even affordable, and which is really, really cool.
You know, when even before I started in marketing, I used to think of the marketing industry as just trying to sell me stuff and just pumping out ads everywhere and paying a lot of money to pump out ads and show them to me everywhere. And what I've learned, of course, that is not the case, especially with the evolution of digital marketing tools. It is a profit driver for businesses. And the ones that do it best deliver a lot of profit through digital marketing. And that's because with all of that automation that I talked about, it's very easy to ensure that you're going to get the actions that you need. And it's also really easy to better understand your users and where they come from and retarget them and others like them through advertising. So yeah, it's the internet's become so powerful. My understanding scratches the surface. Of course, I don't understand all the inherent details, but it's become a really useful tool, I think, for business owners.
Interesting. I get asked this a lot from small business owners about blogging. You know, when they launch a site, should they have a blog on their site? Should they do it on blogger.com? You know, and what are the benefits of blogging? And, you know, what does Google think about blogging?
Great question. So, you know, the answer is going to differ depending on what type of business you are. I think I would always start first from the standpoint of who are your users? What do they need? What are they looking for? And if content is one of the things in the particular industry that you're working in, then a blog could be a great idea, a way to share additional information and content about your business or the category that you're playing in with your users. And that's a great way to attract new users into your business too. Having great content also helps with SEO, with search engine optimization. And that is a very complicated thing. And I am not an expert in SEO myself even. So I would recommend against spending all of your time doing things just for SEO, but do the basic things that you need to that will help with SEO so that you have a better chance of appearing more frequently on Google search. And I can actually forward over after. There's a couple of really great sort of help center articles about the foundations of SEO with the kind of core fundamental things you should do on your website to ensure that you're basically not breaking any rules or doing anything wrong that's going to hurt you. And then if you're getting really into it, content can definitely help with that. But I wouldn't do it just for SEO. I would do it if it's something that your users are looking for. And that's the type of behavior that I tend to recommend business owners think most about is in this period of time in which so much has changed in our lives, you need to stay in touch with your users and what they need, what they want, what problems they have, how you can become the solution to those problems. And so to your question, if in your case, maybe you're in beauty or something and content is a really important part of the purchase journey, then yes, a blog is a great idea. And that can develop a lot more loyalty for your users. And then it has some other benefits as well when you think about SEO. But those are secondary, I think, to the primary one, which is, do your users want it? Which is the first question you should always ask yourself.
That's awesome. I used to blog on a blogger site, and I used to draw people around Vancouver. I drew a lot. So I used to put all my drawings up on my blogger blog.
Love it. You should bring it back.
I know. I should bring that back. Jason, this has been incredible. So many resources. We're going to put all those links in the show notes as well for those that want to dive deeper into some of these resources. I love just the great examples, those great stories. They were awesome. So thank you so much.
Of course. Yeah. And so I could talk about this stuff for hours and hours and hours. So thanks so much for having me. And yes, I'll try to consolidate sort of the two places you should go for resources so that we're not sharing with people the 15,000 things you can look at. I think we all have content overload these days, and we've tried to simplify it down to one site and then shop here as the other great resource we've got so that it's not too overwhelming.
And it sounds like, you know, the resources are in so many municipalities right across Canada. Maybe it's one is in your own backyard, and make sure you check that out, both from a hiring perspective and a resource service perspective.
Totally. Yeah. Yes.
So, Tristan, are you ready for rapid fire? Give this a try.
Oh my God, I'm ready for rapid fire. Yeah, hit me. Okay.
What was your first job?
I worked at Mastermind Toys in Toronto. Little toy store.
Yeah.
Was a professional gift wrapper. I wrap great gifts now. A skill that's served me well.
I love Mastermind. As a parent, I love Mastermind because they will wrap my gifts after I buy there. It's amazing.
It's
one of the coolest perks.
Right?
Yeah. It's a great perk.
Such a good perk. So smart of them.
Night owl or early bird?
Definitely night owl. I'm terrible in the mornings. Everybody on my team knows this. I'm late to like every 9 a.m. meeting that we have through like university and to date. My mind just wakes up at night, and I get my best thinking done then, which I sometimes hate myself for. But, but it is what it is.
It is what it is. Everyone's different. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Are you a cat or a dog person?
Oh, God. So this is a hard one. I would have said before I'm such a dog person. I had dogs when I was growing up. I now have two cats and I'm obsessed with them. So I think I'm both.
Okay,
maybe that's a cop-out answer.
No, you can be both. Some people like red or white wine. Some people like both. Yeah,
I like both.
No, it's amazing. It's amazing. What was the first thing you ever marketed?
In my undergrad, I ran this coffee house. I went to Queens and I ran this coffee house called Common Ground. And we made this new bagel that we called the Top Secret Super Bagel. And it had like a secret combination of cream cheeses. And we never told anybody what it was. We just marketed it as the Top Secret Super Bagel. And the like design for it was this bagel that had like a robber mask on it. That was the first thing I marketed. And it was hugely successful, although a little quirky.
That is amazing. It's almost like in BC, we have the White Spot Triple O sauce, which is the secret sauce.
There we go. Love White Spot.
Mm. Yeah. Are you a dark or milk chocolate guy?
Dark, 100% dark. Okay. Yes. Hate milk chocolate.
Nice. Number one thing on your bucket list right now?
Oh, God. See, this is going to be one that's going to stump me. I mean, I'm just hungry to go traveling a little bit more these days.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is bucket list so much as it is just a desire.
Yeah.
I really want to go somewhere warm, but I'm obviously not going to during the pandemic, but I'm excited for the day when it is done. And I'd love to make a trip to South America. That's one of the places top of my list these days.
That's awesome. That's awesome. What is your favorite word right now? Or if you don't have one, a word that you feel needs to die?
Oh God. My favorite word right now, or a word that I feel needs to die. I think I literally say totally, like probably 50 times in every conversation. Maybe that's both my favorite word and one that I want to die. Yeah. So I stopped saying it.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's great. What is the last charity you supported financially or with volunteer time, and why?
Yeah, I donate monthly to Inspire, which is a charity that supports Indigenous youth in Canada.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's something I just think is really, really important, and I will continue to do ongoing.
That's amazing. It's amazing. We'll put a link to that organization in the show notes as well, because I'm a huge fan as well. Yeah, that's awesome. I've never heard someone mention that charity before on this, so this is great.
Great.
What's a movie you love that you just can watch over and over and over again?
I really love Roma from a few years ago. That movie is just, I think, one of the most beautiful films I've ever seen. I don't know if I can watch it over and over and over because it's pretty heavy, but I will watch it for years probably because it really stuck with me. That and, sorry, I'm giving you two, Parasite is the best thing ever. I'm obsessed with Parasite. Oh, I was so excited when that came out.
That's awesome. That's amazing. What is a favorite song or album on repeat right now for you?
Great question. So many. But recently, I mean, I love Kacey Musgraves' Golden Hour. It's one of my favorite albums from the past few years. Mm-hmm. And I listen to it literally constantly. I become like obsessive with music. I just listen to the same thing on repeat.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's perfect. That's a great shout out. If you weren't doing this job you're doing right now, what would you be doing?
Wow, that's a great question.
Besides selling bagels, of course.
Besides selling bagels. I mean, I would certainly, I'd go back to selling the top secret super bagel for sure. I think, I mean, when I was a kid, I always had this dream about working in the film industry or something. Yeah. I think that's something I would consider. But I'm happy where I am. Didn't expect that I would stay in marketing for 8 years. But I love it and it's been great. But yeah, awesome. I think that would be my other sort of side dream in a different world.
It's awesome. What's an app on your phone you can't live without?
Instagram, probably.
Yeah.
It's great. A problem for me. I've got to delete it. It's like an addiction.
Or do you could do the screen time thing on it, right?
Oh, the
you
screen only, time. Yeah. I could do that. I am. I'm not a rules follower, so I think if I do it, I'll just break the rule and then keep looking. Yeah. Instagram, Spotify, probably my other one.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's awesome. Favorite children's book?
Harry Potter.
Yep. Amazing.
100%.
It's amazing. Here's one for you. What's the most important thing you've ever changed your mind about? You thought one thing and then you changed your mind about it and you're so glad you did.
Wow. These are big questions. Maybe I'll offend some university goers in Ontario, but I accepted an application to Western and then switched to Queen's the day after, like after the application windows had closed and stuff. So it seemed like a great decision and I met a lot of my closest friends at Queen's. So thrilled with that. And the bagel wouldn't have happened without it. So there we go.
Perfect. Perfect. What's the best thing you've ever bought for $10 or under?
Oh, so much. I'm like a cereal shopper. It's also a problem. For $10 or under. So when you ask, I'm literally like looking around my room being like, what did I buy here that's under $10? I have this lip balm that I really love.
Yeah.
I'll show it. It's by this brand Pharmacy. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. That I'm just like obsessed with. I think it's maybe like $12. So I might be breaking the rule there, but it's close.
Okay. No, that's great. No, it's, you know, it's interesting. Every time I go to Ontario, I need my lip balm because it's out here in the West. It's very moist all the time.
Although recently
we had a dry streak. Because it was weird. It was dry, and I was like, I felt like Ontario. My lips were all chapped, and I had to go find my chapstick in a drawer. And no, you need a good chapstick when in Ontario, man.
Yeah.
What is a marketing book or a book that's kind of you know, in the realm of marketing advertising that you'd recommend? A book that really had an impact for you.
There's this book called How Brands Grow, which if you're a marketing nerd, really interested in marketing. It does a really great job of talking about why brands are successful and how to build a brand slowly over time. And a lot of the lessons from that have really stuck with me. That's it's a great book that I highly recommend.
And the author?
Oh, I do not know the author.
That's okay. We'll Google it. We'll find it. We'll Google it after.
We'll find out.
We'll put a link in the notes. What is a podcast that you'd recommend for those in the industry?
Whenever somebody asks me podcast you recommend, I always go straight to Oprah Super Soul Sunday.
Yes. Oh, it's so good.
Which is like one of my favorites. Oh, yeah. I can just listen to it constantly. I love Oprah.
Well, there was a great Canadian on that show, by the way. If you ever, it was way, way back then when she got started, named William Young. And if you ever get a chance, who wrote a book that became like a New York Times bestseller, international bestseller, and he self-published it. And he was
amazing.
He was a missionary kid from Alberta. So it's, you know, the book he wrote was life-changing for a lot of people. So
That's so cool. He wrote a book called
The Shack. So William Young, incredible interview. And Oprah has this amazing ability to draw stuff out of people. I loved it. One of my favorite interviews.
I think she's literally the greatest interviewer of our time. She's so good at it. So I could listen to that podcast for days. But marketing, I really like How I Built This. It was really good.
So good.
Talking to founders that make really cool stuff. For a particular episode, I can listen to Emily Weiss from Glossier talk all day. And there's a really good How I Built This. I'm pretty sure it's How I Built This with her. That's really inspiring.
Amazing. And last but not least, newsletter or website you'd recommend for kind of resources, inspiration. I know we mentioned Think with Google. I'm a huge Think with Google newsletter fan. So if there's anything, I know there's nothing comparable, but anything maybe outside of Think with Google that you'd you'd recommend, or we could just say Think with Google again.
No, it's good. I want to say something different. Does Marketing News Canada have a newsletter?
We have a newsletter. Yeah, every 2 weeks.
Marketing News Canada, 100% is the other. You know, I will say the other one that I think is great for business owners particularly is Digital Main Street has a newsletter that they send out to.
Okay.
And that's a good one. The other one that I subscribe to that I get a lot of great insights from is the CFIB, Canadian Federation of Independent Business, has a newsletter that goes out. So there we go. I gave you three.
That's amazing.
In addition to Think with Google, but mostly Marketing News Canada is the number one that everybody should check out.
And then last thing you Googled, what was the last thing you think you Googled?
It's probably embarrassing. I wonder. I this morning Googled something along the lines of like cat vomits hairball. Intestinal blockage.
Trying
to figure out what's going on with my cat. Oh, God. Yeah. It would be so embarrassing if everybody could see all of your Google search history. Oh, yeah. The questions that I ask Google all the time are just like next level.
Yeah. But it's telling, right? That telling thing about a person is that. And speaking of which, a great resource I want to make sure we mention as we wrap here, Google Trends. An amazing resource for small businesses, medium businesses. See what people are thinking. See what they're Googling about so you can better respond with good blog content, video content, and respond to the needs of the consumer across this great country.
Yeah, I mean, I talked earlier about how important it is to understand your users. Trends is one of the best ways you can do that. We often think of searches as a really great proxy for consumer demand or user demand.
Yeah.
And so through Trends, anybody can look it up. If you just Google Trends.
And
it's a free service.
Yeah.
Yes. And you can access truly anything. You can look at trends in your product category. You can look at general trends geographically. You can learn so much about your users from that. And the second thing I will plug and I always say is use Google Trends. It is free. And that is an amazing way to get some basic understanding of your users and then talk to people. That is the other really important way that you qualitatively start to glean some really great insights that then complement your free quant information that you can get from Google.
It's amazing. Tristan, this show has been jam-packed full of resources, ideas, tips, and great stories. Thank you so much for making time today. To share.
Of course. Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. And let's not, we haven't thanked her yet, but I want to thank Wendy today. We've never mentioned Wendy, but there's a special woman in our lives named Wendy who has been really instrumental in making sure we have great guests here on Marketing News Canada. So thank you today, Wendy.
Wendy is the greatest. I think she created me literally. So yeah, I owe everything to Wendy for all this. So thanks, Wendy, for setting this up and helping me prep.
It's awesome. All right. Thanks, everyone, for joining us this week on Marketing News Canada, and we'll see you next time on the show.
Thanks for listening to Marketing News Canada. For more episodes and other great stories from Canadian marketers, visit marketingnewscanada.com. All episodes are recorded at the Jelly Marketing Studio, thanks to our producer, Chris Penner, and editor, Travis Jeffers.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.